And we are live. It's quiet, Katie.
Very quiet.
That's right. There's nobody here. At least zero. Just no one. So I say we just go. Yep.
You're about to witness the strength of creep knowledge.
Good evening. Welcome to the 40 and Slip. This is episode 186. It's actually a much, much, much larger number than that, but we won't get into that right now. Dan Aykroyd's UFO obsession. We are sans Steve tonight. Fucking Steve bailed. Steve, I was going to say he's on assignment, but he's not. He went to Cleveland. Because I guess Cleveland rocks. I don't know. So they say. I've heard it's a shithole from some people. Other people say, eh, it's a nice place. I don't know. I don't know what to believe anymore. The world's so upside down and sideways. It's a weird, weird world. Strange. I don't get it. I don't think Katie does either.
Cleveland's Ohio too, though. So.
Oh yeah, that's right too. You have your Ohio hatred.
Yeah, sorry.
I forgot about that. I forgot about that. That's like people's inane hatred of people from Massachusetts, the people that live here in Maine, because they all come up here to vacation.
Yeah.
So we tend to hate them. People call them mass holes.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an interesting situation when they all come up here in the summertime. I deal with a lot of people from Massachusetts where I live, so they're not that half bad. There's quite a few of them that are pretty decent, so.
Well, my dad's from Ohio, so, I mean, I can't talk too much shit, and we are in close proximity, so.
Yeah.
We don't have a name for them. I just say a lot of fucking Ohio.
Yeah, I can understand that. I have managed this week to like escape, or the past week, to escape most of the news cycle bullshit. Like work just kind of mowed me over. So there was that. And then, lo and behold, like a fucking silver lining to a fucking dark cloud. I think it was Wednesday. I went to go check my bank account. And I had $1,400 and something fucking dollars in there. And now, mind you, I did not have anywhere near there. The day before, I had like $7. So
that's a hell of an exciting number to see then.
When I opened it up, I went, did I open up the wrong fucking bank account? And the next thing I thought to myself was, did they make a mistake? Because I've seen nothing of any of this.
Right.
And they just literally took my taxes. All my tax returns. So, and I've said this before, it's fine. Like, I have a debt to pay. It's fine. Like, it's not something that I get upset about. I mean, it can upset me in and of the way that they do it and how they fucking, like, one of the things that they did was they took my tax returns to give to my ex. And then 2 months later, I got a bill for taxes owed. Jeez. I'm like, so why didn't you take it out of the taxes that you gave to her?
Right. Yeah, that doesn't make much sense at all.
So they just billed me on top of it.
Wow.
So double fuck me. So it was nice. So what I went out and put $500 down on a 2022 Honda Ruckus. I've wanted one for like 8 years now. And to give the person credit that introduced me to him, Matt Knapp, was like, hey, you got to check this thing out. It's fucking cool. And I was like, all right. So I looked at it and fuck, yeah, that's cool. And I've since seen him like driving around. Excuse me. I took a bad dab hit before the show. And the guy that I spoke to on the phone said they're a hot item. And that it was good that I got my deposit in early. And now, because if I hadn't gotten it in now, I'd have been waiting until August to get one.
Wow.
Because that's when the next shipment comes in from Honda. It comes in, June 1st, I think, is when it comes in. And I'll try to pop it up so you guys can see what it looks like.
Yeah, it looks slick.
Yeah, I like it. Cause what I'm really stoked about is that, it's the color that I want. Can I get it there? Will it pop up that color? No, of course not. It just shows it at the other place where I was looking at it. Here, I'll pop this up and see if you can see this. So every year that they've come out with them, they've always been like red and white or black or whatever. And all color schemes that I would have bought one because I liked it, but nothing that like really spoke to me. And then this year they finally came out with one I liked the color scheme. They had two of them that were had a blue color scheme to them, and that is the one over there on the what is it, on the right of the screen, Katie?
Yeah.
Top right there, the blue and tan is the one that I'm getting. So I put I put $500 down on that out of my little fucking stimulus there. And I'm like fucking stoked. And I'm going to just pound overtime for like the next month and try to just pay it right off instead of financing any of it. I think I'm just going to try to pay it right off. So
it's a good way to do it.
Well, I mean, I think at best, I'll pay it off. At worst, I'll probably owe like $1,000 on it.
Yeah.
Because they're not that expensive. They're $3,399 brand new. So, and 115 miles to the gallon. I'm like, yeah. Like my son was saying all weekend. While he was here, he was like, beep, beep, motherfucker. I'm really, really stoked. Like I said, I've wanted one of these forever. And now I've got one coming. So, yesterday, I hemmed and hawed about it for days. But I've been wanting one for a while now. Everybody's been screaming about how cool they are. And, my son being one of those people, I went out and bought a Nintendo Switch Lite. I actually, at this point, regret not getting the console, or not waiting and getting the console, I guess. Because I'll probably get one at this point. Just having it for a fucking day, I already love it. and I already spoke to my son about this. I'm probably going to just, at the end of the summer, purchase a console and give him the light to take to college with him. Because he's all accepted to college and he's on his way. So woohoo. Can I say the turtle fucking made it? The little baby turtle made it. Allowed to now? I mean, I don't know. I don't know when that whole thing transpires as a parent.
Either way, he seems like a real good kid, so.
Yeah, he turned out way better than I expected. I'm going to be honest. I mean, especially being my son, I was worried. I was extremely worried. that he'd fall into a lot of the same pitfalls that I did. But, you know, he's got a really decent head on his shoulders. And anytime I talk to him about anything, you know, he's fairly honest. You know, and there was one day he was sitting here and he's like, you know, isn't it great that we can talk to each other the way that we do? And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. I'm like, yeah, I grew up totally different with my father. And while I, you know, I am a parent to him, you know, I don't talk to him like he's a fucking kid, and I don't talk down to him. And, you know, I don't do the shit that I think that a lot of the parents of my parents' generation fell into. You know, kids should, like, that whole kids should be seen and not heard.
Yeah.
Type of mentality. You know, no. But, you know, now that he's 17, almost 18, as many parents do, I regret not spending more time with him when he was younger. You know, I know I can just like remember days when I was just like, no, I don't have time right now.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm like, fuck, you dumb fucking idiot. But you know, it's what happens. So I told him the other day that he has to have two sons and name them Thor and Loki. And I will not accept anything less than that. He wants like no kids, so, but neither did I at his age. So
right.
We'll see how that turns out. Good old time. It's a bitch.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I mean, it's pretty big fucking news there. Them Raiden Giuliani's New York apartment there.
I didn't hear about that. I haven't been watching much of anything lately.
That one I did catch. That's the one that I did catch, was that they raided Giuliani's New York apartment. No, I'm not going to go into it. I just think it's kind of funny.
Yeah, no, I'm interested. I will be.
Fucking New York's mayor. That.
Right. Yeah, that's
America's mayor, I should say. America, I mean, fucking 9/11 mayor.
It's not a small headline, so but no, yeah, I haven't been really consuming much of anything the past several either. Days. So
I listen to a lot of talk radio. I listen to Jim and Sam in the morning, and I have a subscription to Compound Media. I listen to Anthony Comia. Like usually 4 days a week. I might miss a show here and there. But because Anthony's very right wing, and I've told Katie this before, I'm a very independent guy, and I get a lot of left wing shit. So I like Anthony. I think he's fucking hilarious. I don't agree with him on much of anything at all. But one of the reasons why I listen to him is because I like to hear his point of view. And sometimes I agree with him. Not a shit ton, but sometimes I agree with him. And I think that's important. And I think it should be important for more people out there.
Yeah, to it is healthy.
Yeah, to listen to things you disagree with.
Yeah.
And not just listen to it, but understand why. Like, if nobody's ever heard of the guy, I think his name's Daryl Dixon. If you can, Katie, look that up for me, because I want to make sure I get it right. He's the black guy that sits down with KKK members and becomes friends with them.
Daryl this guy's Davis. Mates.
Daryl Davis. Okay, I got it wrong. Guy's amazing. He's had like fucking clan members give him their fucking uniforms, like grandmasters or wizards or whatever the fuck they call themselves. Fucking weirdos. Gives them to him, you know, like he collects them like they're fucking badges. And as he should. Like that type of discourse, like being able to talk to someone that you fucking completely disagree with. And have a rational conversation with them and look at them like a fucking human being. It's important. You got to be able to look somebody in the eye and have a fucking conversation with them. Because if you can't, I mean, that's one of the things that the internet's taken away. You know, it's all this anonymity and fuck you and fuck this and go fuck yourself and, you know, whatever. And yeah, discourse is important. So I listen to it, like I said, religiously every day. It's on right now, so I'm not listening to it right this minute, but I usually listen to it afterwards on the replay. But I listen to him just about every day. And he is vehemently right. So anybody that thinks I don't imbibe from both sides of the coin, I watch Bill Maher on the weekend and John Oliver. And then during the week, I listen to Anthony Cumia. So go fuck yourselves. Which I think that's healthy.
Yeah, I think there's not enough people that seek out both sides. People just tend to gravitate towards their own slant. And it's important to look into the other side and get a dose of that to level yourself out a little bit.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And for a long time, I avoided that type of shit. I was much like, you know, a lot of other people. I would just try to take in the stuff that kind of rang true with me.
Right.
Like, for a long time, I would watch Bill Maher. But because Bill Maher was one of those types, he was the type of guy that, love him or hate him, he goes after the left. Probably not as much as he goes after the right, but more so than anybody else. Like, he just calls it as it is. It's a bunch of fucking pussies. And, you know, that's the type of stuff I would just, you know, but other than that, you know, it was just stuff that I would listen to. I would try to keep it just so that it flowed with what I wanted to hear. And I just got to a point where I wanted to hear something different. I needed to hear something different so that I could at least, not because I wanted to change my fucking, you know, completely change my mind. I just wanted a broader sense of the subject. I didn't want to, I didn't want to be this closed-minded in a shell person, you know, oh, I'm in my little protective, everything's the way I want to see it. Nah, fuck that.
Well, I think it's really easy for a lot of people to get into that kind of rut, though, where it's just kind of like confirmation bias of their only consuming media that agrees with what they already think. So, and I think too many people do that.
Everybody almost everybody falls into that one of those categories right now.
You know,
you're either someone who imbibes fucking left-wing media or right-wing media, and that's right. You know, and you can point those people out almost, like, right now, especially, like, with all this, like, rah, 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 I'm on this side, you can see it on the street.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It, because people are wearing the, it's almost like people are wearing the colors. To use the term, it almost harkens back to like gang. Like, if you're Trump a supporter, you're on this side, or I say Trump supporter, he's fucking out of office, but it still feels like it's that way.
Yeah, no, it totally does.
And, you know, and then, you know, if you're a Biden or left wing supporter, these are your colors over here. This is your flag. It's like, what the fuck happened?
Yeah, everything is super, super, super divided right now.
Well, it's super upside down is my point. Like, when did it become that we were two separate? Like, that's the thing that always bothers me about people. And I don't know if you'll agree with me or disagree with me on this one, Katie. So who, like, say, I don't want a popular vote because then the election will be decided by New York and California. And I'm always like, are their votes any less important than yours?
Yeah, I don't hold that strong feeling. I think we need a change in the system, but I don't necessarily know what that change is.
Yeah, I just look at it like, if it's one person, one vote, I think that's the change that needs to happen in this country.
Right.
In my opinion, being a person in the middle.
Yeah.
I think that's where it needs to go. One person, one vote. But, you know, anybody who... I love the people who are like, that's not what the founding fathers want. Yeah, well, the founding fathers wanted you to own land to vote. Right. So go fuck yourself. You live in an apartment, go fuck yourself. You don't vote anymore.
Joe Rogan actually does a really good bit on that about how if, you know, the founding fathers were to wake up today and they'd be like, what? Oh, you didn't write new shit? you didn't rewrite new shit?
Yeah.
Like, we didn't plan for this to, like, last forever. This was just supposed to get you by. We said you
could amend it.
Right.
Yeah. So, anyway, I just thought that was kind of funny. I needed to imbibe some more shit. So I was like, and I remember talking to you and you were like, what was it you called me? You're like, Chris, you're like a unicorn.
Yeah, it's rare in this day and age.
I thought that was funny. I thought that was hilarious. So anyway, we'll get into the news of the evening because we don't have fucking Steve here. Where do I want to start with this tonight, Katie? We'll go with from Fox2Detroit.com. Man builds poop wall in Washtenaw County after dispute with neighbor. It's a smelly fence that Wayne Lambarth says his farmer neighbor built after a dispute. Normally they spread it on the field, but they decided to make a fence out of it, Lambarth. That's an interesting way to end that sentence. Lambarth's grandfather developed the farm 100 years ago, but the property was divided and there was a dispute over the property line last year. That's when the manure appeared close to the house. It's just a shit pile over there. They bleeped it out, but I'm going to say it. Jaden Schwartzel said, "Wow, Lambarth has tenants living in the house who are forced to deal with smelling the cow poop wall every day. It's like you can't leave the window open. The whole upstairs will smell like it," Coin Gatto said. "I used to have a girlfriend that loved the smell of cow shit."
Ew.
I'm not kidding.
What the fuck?
We would drive by it and she would love it. Thank God I'm no longer with. That was years ago. Long, long time ago. Anyway, Gatto and Schwartz live in the home and have complained about the smell of the poop. When asked about the poop wall, the neighbor who built it said, "It's not a poop wall, it's a compost fence." He was also told that his neighbor did not like the poop, to which he responded something inaudible about not liking the price of milk before he got back to work on his farm. While the poop is a disgusting nuisance, local officials said nothing can be done about it because it's on the neighbor's property. good old poop wall. I'm gonna fucking blow my nose again. Jesus Christ, Kate. These goddamn seasonal allergies, in the time of COVID. I feel like I'm doing something wrong.
That manure would probably make you have allergies of a different kind, man. Ugh. That one got me because just the other day, I literally almost threw up in the car because we drove by a tractor laying fresh manure. It literally thickened the air. It was so bad. I couldn't imagine somebody plopping that down, you know, 50 yards from my house. I would be pissed.
Oh yeah. And I can remember when we would drive by it, she would breathe in, she'd go, "Silage."
Oh God.
What the fuck
did
is
she
wrong
grow
with
up
you?
On a farm or something?
She did not grow up on a farm, but her longtime boyfriend, when she was younger, he grew up on a farm. And like she had like goats and the whole nine yards and everything.
That's gross.
Yeah, because she was deep with their family. So it's just a funny anecdote. Anyway, from sfgate.com, U.S. Air Force flight in Mideast uses call sign Pickle Rick. Someone in the U.S. Air Force apparently watches the cartoon Rick and Morty. Well, fuck yeah. An Air Force KC-10 extender that flew out of Al Dafra Air Base in the United Arab Emirates on Sunday used the call sign Pickle Rick, that's spelled P-I-K-L-R-I-C-K, on a mission that saw it fly east over the Gulf of Oman. According to flight tracking data, the KC-10A is an aircraft that refuels warplanes in flight. The call sign appears to be a nod to an episode in which one of the titular characters in the Cartoon Network show turns himself into a pickle. How is there any way to describe this? The fucking genius on the show turns himself into a pickle. And then in a span of what amounts to like an hour, constructs a fucking body for the pickle, defeats a bunch of rats, and then kills a bunch of Russians. It's amazing, people. If you haven't seen it, I recommend it. And I'm going to just dump that fucking story right there. Of course he used fucking Pickle Rick because it's the best fucking thing ever. That's why I have two of them sitting on my desk right here. Anyway, from ODDEE.com, huge butt plug sparks grenade scare in Germany. It might not have been explosive, but the toy still probably devastated something at one point. Oh, did it? They just, sometimes they can't help themselves.
No, nope, they can't.
Sometimes. Oh, sometimes. Anyway, you can never be too careful, especially when you believe you've uncovered an explosive device. But this story goes to show that looks can be deceiving. On April 26, a woman was jogging in the woods in southeastern Germany near the town of Sonnen. Suddenly, she noticed something strange that stopped her dead in her tracks. On the ground by the path was an old plastic bag. Inside it was something that looked exactly like a hand grenade. Concerned for the safety of herself and others, the woman didn't waste time. She pulled out her mobile phone and called the emergency number. Her phone call sparked a full-blown bomb defusal operation. The bomb squad from the Bavarian Police Department rushed to the scene as quickly as they could. The bomb defusal experts cleared the area. Supposedly, we're not quite sure if there was anyone else to clear out. Then they approached the grenade and began working on defusing it. Except there wasn't much to defuse. Instead of carrying out a controlled detonation, we assumed the bomb squad returned with a hearty chuckle. When examining the supposed grenade, the explosive experts discovered that it wasn't a grenade at all. Instead, it was a sex toy, a roughly grenade-shaped butt plug of a respectable girth.
Yeah, what's unrespectable?
I want women, when they talk to me about their dildos now, to say, I get my dildo of a respectable girth. Please, Chris. Please, Christopher. No, I want them to use my full name when they do it, too. Please, Christopher. I buy my dildos of a respectable girth. I mean, fucking hell. What the fuck? I'll never forget the first time I saw a girl pull out a butt plug. Never in my fucking life. It had a raccoon tail on it.
What?
Not even going to lie.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, yeah. That was
That's
the best.
That's creative.
Yeah, she was interesting.
Sounds yeah. like it.
Yeah. That's one word to describe her. Anyhow, and that, ladies and gentlemen, is the news. And on to our topic of the evening, Dan Aykroyd, my fucking childhood hero in Ghostbusters with fucking good old Bill Murray. I was a fucking huge Dan Aykroyd fan when I was a kid.
Yeah, me
you're
too.
You're a little younger than me, so I don't know if that you still fall into the same.
I had a full Ghostbusters playset with the backpack. And the little like laser gun and even the little thing that you roll out on the floor to suck the ghost inside of it. That whole little thing.
Oh, no shit.
Had a little pedal you stomped on to open it up.
Was it the cartoon version or?
No, I remember the live action version. We watched it all the time. That was a family staple.
Yeah, I will never forget the first time I watched Ghostbusters. We had literally just gotten our first VCR not long before it, and I remember how the living room was set up in the old house, and that house doesn't even stand anymore, but I remember how the living room was set up when we watched it, which is fucking crazy to me.
Yeah, that's a solid memory.
Yeah, and I mean, God, he's just been all over the place since then.
Yeah.
Coneheads. I fucking love Coneheads. It's one of my favorite. His stint on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
And I caught most of, if not all of his appearance on Joe Rogan. It was a long bit ago that he was on. but Some of his stuff I find to be a little wacky.
Yeah, he's an eccentric dude.
Yeah, for he goes a little out there, but all in all, you know, it's worth taking a look at. I think personally,
I was able to watch the documentary and the full JRE podcast. So,
how did you like it? The Rogan podcast.
It was great. I really enjoyed listening to him. I mean, he's legendary, so it was fun. I mean, he is very serious, but I think he's also pretty impressive. He's definitely genuinely interested in some cool shit, and he has a steel trap memory for sure. So
yeah. A side note, I'm fucking blown away by the fact that I did catch this past week too. The fact that the White House commented about what Joe Rogan said about vaccines.
They did.
Oh yeah. And wow. He came back. His rebuttal was like, I'm not a doctor.
Right. Yeah. I did see his rebuttal. I did see his whole response thing. I'm just
like, what the fuck? But yeah, speaking of Joe Rogan, I just thought that was funny. Like Dr. Fauci, like fucking calling out fucking Rogan. It's like, dude, I think Fauci should go on his show. That's what I think right now. Fuck Fauci, right? Go on Rogan, talk to Rogan in person, and then fucking spout your bullshit.
Right. Well, they clearly don't know who Joe Rogan really is. Clearly. I mean,
well, they don't listen. Yeah. Somebody said something, took a sound bite and went with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is what happens with everything in this goddamn country right now.
And especially with the format that he does in his podcast, there's so much context that gets lost when you just take a little sound bite like that.
Exactly. So, yeah, I thought that was funny. But I'm glad you enjoyed that, because I know when I said it to you, you were like, he was?
Yeah. Well, and I think maybe I did listen to it and I've just forgotten, but
there's a lot of them.
I dove in this time and it's interesting.
Cool. All right. So the Dan Aykroyd's UFO encounters. In 2005, a documentary was released called Dan Aykroyd Unplugged on UFOs. Being an extremely famous film writer and actor, many people are surprised to find out that Dan Aykroyd is actually a huge fan of all things strange. He's extremely well-versed in stories of the paranormal, extraterrestrial, and cryptozoology. He says his interest was piqued when he was eight years old and saw pictures in a magazine of the 1952 UFO sightings in Washington, D.C. Also, his mother had a UFO sighting that she spoke openly about. This always fascinated him. From then on, he saw research on fringe topics as a hobby and form of entertainment. This Dan Aykroyd Unplugged documentary was made by author and ufologist David Serrata when he sat down in 2001 with Dan Aykroyd to discuss all things extraterrestrial. The two of them discussed the long history of UFO sightings around the world, including NASA projects, astronaut sightings, ideas of propulsion technology, alien abductions, and famous events like the Roswell incident and the Phoenix Lights. Do you know the Phoenix Lights? One of the people that reported that was Kurt Russell.
No, really?
I believe it was Kurt Russell. I think you can look that up.
Wow. There's a lot of celebrity UFO and even paranormal stuff.
Yeah, I want to say it was Kurt Russell. I could be wrong, but I want to say Kurt Russell. Dan is able to recall these topics factually without any notes in front of him, showing his great passion for knowledge. He was able to do the same when he sat down with Joe Rogan on the JRE podcast. As Rogan challenged certain points, Dan had an arsenal of facts and other stories to relevantly hold the conversation they were having. He speaks with conviction, confident in his deep knowledge. About halfway through the film, Dan finally drops into conversation an experience of his own. It was the mid-80s in upstate New York when Dan was in bed asleep with his wife. He woke in the middle of the night and told his wife that they wanted him to go outside and see something. He couldn't say who they were, but he needed to go outside. His wife was able to talk him into going back to sleep, but the next day there were news reports from all over New York and surrounding areas of people waking up at 3 a.m. with a great urge of something telling them to go outside and look into the sky. 12,000 people shared this urge on that same night. The Air Force eventually came out and said that a Chinese rocket had exploded over the Great Lakes that night, and that is what they had seen. Dan also discusses a show he was set to air on Sci-Fi Channel called Out There. It was an interview-style documentary series covering UFO sightings and abduction stories. He had over 20 episodes filmed when suddenly Sci-Fi canceled the show. The day he received the message that it was canceled, he was actually filming an interview for another episode. He had stepped outside to take a phone call and smoke a cigarette when he looked up and saw an all-black police car with a blurry license plate. A tall man dressed in black got out of the back seat and looked directly at Dan. He briefly looked away, and when he turned back, the car and the man were gone. He insists that it did not drive away. It happened so fast that it seemed to just vanish, as if it had been cloaked. It was just a few hours later that he found out his show was canceled. He suggests that it seems as though there was some unknown authority blocking his project. He's very open-minded about the possibilities, but it is most certainly an interesting story. So he's saying man in black encounter?
Yeah, I mean, that's what it seemed like.
That's what I was figuring. The 2005 documentary is more a discussion about the history of UFO sightings in general. It's a display of Dan Aykroyd's knowledge rather than his own personal experiences. But on the JRE podcast, he does speak about several different experiences he has had, like when he was in his 30s staying on Martha's Vineyard. He woke at 4 a.m. to use the bathroom. He stepped outside on the balcony and looked up into the sky and saw two glowing discs flying at extreme speeds in a zigzag formation. His wife and friends saw them as well and confirmed the story. Another time he was in Montreal, Canada. He was looking out the window of his 23rd floor hotel room when he saw a giant object slowly floating low in the sky. He said it was gray in color and large, 100 feet long, 50 feet wide, but flat with a smooth surface, the bottom of it looking like the surface of an air mattress. He watched it slowly float down to a nearby river until it went out of sight. Another time he was riding his motorcycle at night outside of Ontario when he saw a blinking red light slowly traveling along above the power lines. He stopped to watch it, and the light suddenly stopped and headed back straight toward him. He turned the flashes of his bike on, but it continued until it stopped directly above him and shone a light down on him from about 300 feet above. He did not hear the noise of a helicopter or aircraft. Before he could figure out what it was, it took off and disappeared. Dan doesn't claim to have any concrete explanations for any of these sightings, but he is open-minded and certainly finds them strange. Dan did also speak about a paranormal experience he had, one that comically mimics a scene from Ghostbusters. It was while he was filming another movie, he was going to bed for the night after a long day. He had just shut off the light and closed his eyes when he felt a stir in his bed as if someone had crawled into bed with him. He opened his eyes and turned to look, and he could see the indent in the bed as if there was someone lying there beside him. He was too tired to be frightened, so he turned over and scooted up against it to confirm his mind that it was really there, and sure enough, he could feel the presence of someone pressing back against him. He joked that he ended up getting one of the best nights of sleep he ever had. Interesting. I'd never heard about that story.
Yeah. That one was a little bit more tongue-in-cheek, and it was actually after the filming of Ghostbusters with that famous scene of him in bed with the ghost taking his pants off and everything. It was right after that, so.
Yeah, that's interesting, though. What blows me away is that you have a lot of these people that for years and years have been mocked and ridiculed for their belief in the UFO phenomenon. And, you know, take abduction shit out of the whole thing. I mean, just the UFO phenomenon.
Right.
And now we have the fucking government releasing all of this bullshit. Like, and in waves, it so seems. Like, it's every other fucking week, it's like they're releasing something new and saying, oh yeah, this is real. This is cool. They just released another one.
I was hoping to find something newer, like within the past year from him, but I wasn't able to find anything because that Joe Rogan one was over a year ago now. And
yeah,
it's I haven't seen him speak out about the recent exciting events.
Yeah, it it's crazy the amount of disclosure that's going on right now.
Yeah, it is from our
government when it comes to the UFO thing. I'm completely blown away by it. I did not think. Yeah, I didn't think in my lifetime I'd ever see anything like this.
No.
Anything like it, I never thought I'd see it, period.
Right.
I thought it would always be fucking shadowy bullshit. Just people with their harebrained fucking conspiracy theories. You know, Area 51, man. Now we had a couple years ago, people were going to fucking talking about storming Area 51.
Right.
You know, it's a whole different world we live in now. And like the wacky people at this point are the people that believe in Bigfoot.
Right.
You know, that's the funny thing to me because like I could have been like, yeah, like Bigfoot, that's something I can get on board with.
Right.
You know, a relic hominid living in the fucking woods that we haven't fucking, you know, maybe had enough interaction with to be able to go, hey, it exists, you know, on a scientific level.
Right.
I was down. Now it's like the UFO people are more credible than the fucking Bigfoot people.
Yeah, it's strange. It's really strange.
It's a weird world we live in right now, Katie.
It is. I say it all the time. It's a mad, mad world.
I don't understand it. And you know what's funny is I think that if we were to go back like 50 years, people were saying the same shit.
Yeah, I say that all the time too. Of like every generation thinks that
This is the weirdest shit.
Yeah, that this is the craziest time, and wow, shit's really changing. So
I'll bet you back in fucking Genghis Khan's time, they were like, this is some wacky shit.
Yep. Well, especially with growing older, I'm at an awkward phase where I still kind of feel like I'm not a real adult yet, but I totally am. And I just, stuff just feels so much more real
I have totally come to the conclusion that I am the same. I'm not the same person that I was when I was a kid, but I'm the same person.
Right.
That's something that I had to like rationalize because there isn't a day that goes by that I don't get up and look in the mirror and go, I don't recognize you.
Yeah. Well, that's a good thing.
You know, you're an old man. I don't know you. You know, but I respect what I've become too. Like I respect the fact that life has, you know, given me these experiences and allowed me to grow from them because if I didn't, then you know, I'd still be a piece of shit dickhead. But that's something that I deal with all the time as a, you know, 45-year-old fucking man now. Like you get up in the morning, you look at yourself in the mirror and you're just like, who are you? I remember this guy, he had like really dark hair. Like, and he didn't have all these wrinkles in his fucking face. And this thing was a lot more brown.
Right. It's a journey, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's weird. But inside, I still feel like that guy.
Right.
I still feel it. And that's the other thing, too. Your body starts breaking down and you're like, I can't do that. You know, and I was talking to you earlier about, you know, hiking. And the fact that I used to love to hike. And that my back and, you know, other parts of me just are like, not so much, kid.
Yeah, and I went roller skating this weekend for 2 hours.
How's that?
2 hours. I am a broken body now.
Yeah, and you're only in your 30s.
I'm not even 33 yet. And I mean, it was fun. I had a blast. I did fall once, but I wasn't even skating. It was when I was just standing there talking to people and I just randomly dropped like a sack of potatoes. But I mean, it was fun and I was going fast and doing spins, but holy shit, I'm still paying for it. And that was 2 days ago. Yeah. So
it's amazing what little things can do to you now.
Oh yeah. Those like sudden just bursts.
One little thing.
Yeah.
Just totally fuck you up for days. And it's all it takes is just that one little thing.
Yeah.
You could have a week of beautiful, you're feeling great. Everything's good. Mm-hmm. You know, well at this age, everything doesn't feel great for me, but anyway, you know, you, like it's a modicum of good. And then one little thing, you sleep wrong or you lift something just wrong, or you pull just wrong, or you twist just, and you're fucked for a month. And it's not fun anymore. It's not fun anymore. Like, and I, the problem for me is I try to stay, like, I try to stay away from taking anything for my pain.
Yeah. Well.
And because I think any type of overuse of anything, ibuprofen, Tylenol, it's bad for you.
Oh, absolutely.
So I just try not to take it. And there are times when I have to.
Right.
You know, I've got to fucking pop like three or four just to make it through the fucking night. But it's not a daily thing.
Yeah, I was just going to say, as long as you can make it not a every single day, 7 days a week thing, that's that's amazing if you can manage that.
It's very rare that I'll grab them. But, you know, I just, it's, you learn to fucking deal with it. Like, I learned that long ago, like, when I first started having all this, and of course I was an addict back then, so I was looking for pills anyway.
Right.
But I was just like, I just don't want to feel the pain. And I was sincere about that. I seriously didn't want to feel the pain. It sucked. But I've gotten to a point now where it's like, the pain is just a part of my day. Like, it's just, it's what I deal with. Like, it's not something I'm trying to cover up with drugs.
Right.
It's something I'm trying to endure.
And just kind of come to terms with it.
Because it ain't going away.
Right.
Like, I have a fucking, you know, what do they call that? Autoimmune disease.
Hmm.
So, it ain't going away. It just gets worse. But, and I don't like taking the drugs that they want to give me for that either. Because that destroys your liver.
Hmm.
Which is all, oh, so good, you know? Like, to have to go get tested. I love it when they say, oh, yeah, we're going to put you on this thing. You give yourself injections. And, you know, we're going to have to check your liver every month.
Wow, every month. That's a lot.
Yeah.
That means the risk is high.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because if it changes, they want to fucking take you off it right away.
Right.
And it's like, no, I don't want to do that. I would much rather my back just slowly go to shit. Then all of a sudden one day be like, oh, your liver's gone because you had a good back for 10 years.
It's too bad there's not a fix you can do that'll give you like another good 15 years or something.
Well, I'm hoping with, you know, like stem cell shit, therapy and shit like that. Joe Rogan talks about it all the time.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's come a long way.
And I'm hopeful that at some point I can do something to be able to maybe move around a little better. I would like that. Just that. You know, I don't want to be a new me at this point. I mean, I'd love it. If they could take my brain and put it in a younger me, fuck yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I'd fucking do that in a heartbeat. Who wouldn't for a fucking hot minute? But at the same time, I think as my 45-year-old self, like, I don't know what I'd feel. I don't know what I'd do in that situation. I feel like in that situation. So, I think we're just designed to grow old and die.
Right.
Like it's life. That's the nature of things. You know, you start fucking with that and you know, it's that age old story of the people who live for infinity. They just become jaded old fucks.
Right.
You know, so
yeah,
I don't know.
That's actually been on my mind a lot. My mom, she just turned 71 and she just recently in the past, like 3-4 months, her eyes started going to shit and she found out she got cataracts and she's got to have the surgery and she's got her yearly coming up and lots of things she wants to talk about. And she's really starting to feel 71 and,
and it's hard to deal with. Here's what the hard part of that to deal with is for you. Because you're looking at your own mortality.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
Same thing happened to me with my father. When my father had his heart attack. I was like, oh, God, fuck, I'm looking at me.
Yeah.
It's rough.
Yeah, and I love her, and I just hate to see her struggling. Like, I know she's grown through it, you know. She's really going through it right now, and I'm there for as much as I can be, but at the same time, you know, I'm only 32. I can't relate to 71.
No.
You know, so.
That's a rough one.
Yeah.
That's a rough one. Yeah, my dad and I are 25 years apart.
So. My mom was almost 40 when she had me, so we got a big age gap.
Your mom's like my dad's age.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was raised by older parents, so. Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, my old man, he's having his own set of problems since his, a few years ago he had his heart attack and stroke, and then said a bunch of other things that have gone on. And he's just, when I saw him after his heart attack, the hard part for me, when he was in bed, it wasn't bad. It was the first time I saw him standing up and moving around.
Yeah.
He was, for one, he was half the size that he used to be.
Right.
He shed every fucking ounce of weight on him. And it scared the shit out of me what he looked like. So it's a very hard thing to it's a hard thing to process.
Yeah.
And some people that don't process that in that way, I think, I don't want to say that they're broken, but they don't work like the norm.
Well, I think a lot of people just kind of hide from it and they don't want to feel it, you know.
Well, but there are certain people that don't feel it.
Oh, right. Well, true.
Psychopaths. True. They're called psychopaths.
Right. Well, I definitely feel it. It's been weighing heavy on me.
Yeah. And you know, hey, that's part of growing up too. I mean, really. It's part of that whole, like, this is your little puppy dog dying when you were little and having to fucking process that. It's the same thing. Sucks.
My cat is 17 years old and she's healthy. She's great. I don't see her dying anytime soon, but she is the love and the light of my life. And just the fact of knowing that she's 17 and she's gonna die, like, oh my gosh, I get sad and tear up about my cat dying and she's fine. There's nothing wrong with her, but it still makes me so sad think about her dying, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's, and you know, you take in an animal. That's one of the things I had to struggle with taking in Una. You know, she's an older dog.
Yeah.
I'm going to, you know, and here I am. I fucking love that dog for all the stress that she puts me through because she's a fucking little bitch. I love her to pieces. And, you know, I cried when I almost lost her when the puppies were born.
Yeah.
I will bawl my fucking eyes out when that dog passes.
Yeah.
And she's, you know, and she's 9 years old. Like, I took in a 8-year old dog.
Yeah.
You know. So I'm not going to get as much time with her. But even so, the same thing with Ghani. When we decided to keep Ghani, I was like, I'm going to take in something that in, say, let's say 14 years, I'm going to have to let go of her.
Yep.
And that's it's a rough thing to fucking deal with.
It is.
So, anywho, on that note, I'm going to wrap this fucking shit up, Katie. Hope those of you who listened enjoyed it. It didn't look like we had a packed house tonight, Katie.
Yeah, I guess people just want to see Steve, huh?
It's all about Steve. It's all about the fucking Sweetwater legend. That fuck. Anywho, this has been the 40 and Slip, episode 186, Dan Aykroyd's UFO Obsession. If you like this shit, hit that little thumbs up button. If you don't, hit the little thumbs down button or whatever. Leave a comment. Subscribe if you're on YouTube. Like the like page over at facebook.com/the40andslip. Check out the 40 and Slip bedtime stories. I haven't been able to do many of them lately. The past week's been rough. And I'll tell y'all, work's been shit. So I don't know what to tell you, but I will try. As always, check out good old Bronx Johnny over at High Society Radio. It's over at the Gas Digital Network. And our good friend Dreadfun at dreadfun.com and youtube.com/dreadfun. I just posted a Bigfoot commission he did on the like page, which is really cool. It's like a Bigfoot headshot, like coming over the trees, like this huge Bigfoot head coming over like the tops of the trees. Pretty cool. So, and the show will be up a little later on tonight over at anchor.fm/the40andslip. Until next week, which I do not know. I don't think we don't have anything planned. Katie and I will figure out a topic for next week. I know the 24th, I've got to confirm that with him this week just to make sure he's still on the same page with me. But we will have Tom Reed for a more in-depth interview with him. That's to follow up the Melanie Kirchdorfer interview that we had. Don't have anything else on the docket. I have not heard anything back from Mr. Travis Walton as of yet. Who knows? Maybe. Like he said, who knows? Maybe. But until next week, see ya.